In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
I like beer. I don't know if you do. Okay. Do you like beer, Senator, or not?
My party is going bet crazy.
Ah! You're the pup.
Alternative facts.
Oh, goodness.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
America!
Hello, and welcome to the Sup Daily Podcast. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And the Sup Daily Podcast is your daily rundown of all the craziest shit going on in the news, brought to you by your two funniest friends.
Which is us.
Which is us. Happy Monday. Happy Pride.
Happy
Big
Monday.
Night tonight.
Happy Pride. Yes, tonight. So friends, before we get into the news, let me just do some plugging. So yes, tonight is our Betches at Home live Pride show. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Here's the fun thing about that though. If you buy a ticket, which is only $10 and 100% of proceeds go to the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, you can still watch it at a later date. So say you're not available tonight at 8, but you really want to be a part of this live show and you want to be part of this experience, you can still buy a ticket and then just watch it later. It's amazing. We have Bobby Burke, the host of Queer Eye, plays a fun game of we're calling Petty or Not.
Amazing.
We're going to be playing some trivia that everyone can take part in from home. We're going to have a lot of games that are actually interactive. We're going to have a drag performance from a famous drag queen from RuPaul's season 12. Who else? We just got so many fun things.
Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
I mean, Fat Carrie Bradshaw and I are hosting. So we're gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna be drinking, and you know, it's for a good cause.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What else are you gonna do tonight on Monday at 8 p.m.? Like,
yeah.
Be responsible.
What's the link for that?
Betches.co/pride.
Perfect. Yeah. And if you guys missed it, Brian and Chris have spent the past month honoring queer history on this podcast. It's been like such a cool series to listen to, especially because Pride was a little weird this year, although we'll get into this weekend. Definitely people were out celebrating. So those episodes are in the feed and they're pretty evergreen. So they're a great thing to listen to next time you got to, I don't know, maybe you might go on a plane soon. Who knows?
Yeah.
Cue it up. But like really, really cool, interesting history that's like shockingly modern. You guys like talk about like a trans soldier in the context of like an administration now trying to keep trans people out of the military when like that has literally never worked. Very, very cool series culminating in tonight's show. So super exciting. And you can also see Brian on Thursday because Sup is doing a live show too. We're going to do a little Zoom B-Day party for America. That's all she deserves. She doesn't deserve anything better. But we're using like a cooler app than Zoom. Gonna have lots of games. Rep Ted Liu and Rep Eric Swalwell are joining us. Super exciting for a game. They'll play a game figuring out if a real president or a fake president said a certain thing. We have some friends from Crooked Media joining us, Priyanka Arabindi and EJ Baker, who will join us for some swing state trivia, which I thought was gonna be a difficult game to make challenging, especially for people that like are pretty aware of it. But then I was talking to Diana, our video person. She reminded me, we could also put pop culture things in there. Doesn't all have to be like hard-hitting politics stuff. So that's going to be a really fun game about like weird knowledge about the swing states that are included in Crooked's Adopt-A-State program. And then we also have a game we're going to play, Wait, That Was This Year, where we're going to challenge, Elise is going to host and challenge Julia Shiplett, Malia Tamarez, Irene Merrow. If you read Betch's articles and you nod your head constantly at how good they are, they were probably written by Irene. And then also all of us, the Sup hosts, will be playing a game of Worst Member of Congress this week, where we all vie for you to choose who was the worst. We're going to try to convince you of ours. It's going to be fun. Thursday, betches.co/supplive. We're going to be adding some guests, but I think it'll just be like a really fun way to spend an hour on Thursday night. And 80% of your ticket will go to the ACLU. We have to pay some production costs, but other than that, it's going straight to the ACLU's Voting Rights Project. Voting rights is obviously very important to all of us, especially ahead of this election.
You know, guys, there are people listening. We're trying to stop saying guys so much. We have done so much work into these two shows. So if you want to be like, just not just like, I don't know, like not just a fan, also a good friend, you would buy tickets and attend. Yes.
And that's a great point that you can watch the show after. Like, we get that you might not be free Thursday, but if you just want to pay $10, most of which will go to the ACLU, you can watch it anytime. We'll probably share some excerpts, but the full show is going to be reserved for ticket holders. So you can get those at betch.co/sup live. All right, let's get into some of today's news. Every day is so much. And I think I said on this podcast, like, oh, I'm glad we do it every day now because we can hit on everything. That mm-hmm. obviously does not happen. But we'll hit on a few things today. So wanted to check in on the protests demanding racial justice. They are still happening. People are still out every day and sadly still putting their lives on the line. We've seen a little bit of a die down in these sort of viral images of the police brutality that's going on. But I think that's just because there are less people on the ground right now, not because it's not happening. On Saturday, 27-year-old Tyler Girth of Louisville was fatally shot near a camp set up for protesters in the city. To be clear, he was not shot by a police officer. He was shot by somebody around who had been arrested multiple times, who a lot of people in the community had expressed concern about, had a weapon there. Mr. Girth was a photographer. He'd been taking pictures of the protesters and documenting them. So the city had been letting people camp and prop tents in this area of Jefferson Park in Louisville to just accommodate them because it seemed like the right thing to do for the time. But they're no longer going to do that because it seemed to impede law enforcement's ability to stop this fatal shooting. This man opened fire into a group of protesters, and it's just a reminder that you're really putting yourself at risk every time you go out there, and it really shouldn't be like that. I don't know where law enforcement was then.
I know.
Because in New York City, they were beating the shit out of queer people.
Well, did you see that Trump retweeted that ABC tweet today of the two white people like holding guns at protesters as they yes. were in like Louis, like
That was in St. Louis.
And so it's like, you can see that like we're seeing this happen over and over again, where I think people are obviously being galvanized by Trump and his administration to think that this is an acceptable thing to do. And it clearly is not, because like why would you retweet something like that? Why would you say, you know,
incite violence.
And he like tweets like, protect your Second Amendment rights to things that have nothing to do with the Second Amendment, that are just like about protests. And it's just keeps happening. And it's not one of the few things that we're going to talk about of how he is, you know, trying to agitate people. But speaking of protests, it was in New York City, protesters recognizing Pride were tear gassed. So thousands of LGBTQ+ people and allies marched near Washington Square Park for the second annual Queer Liberation March on Sunday in support of Black Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives Matter movements. The protests were peaceful until officers attempted to arrest two people for graffiti. Numerous videos on social media show the NYPD using their batons and tear gas on protesters as they intervened. I've seen a few of these videos. It is really just jarring to see. There was this one instance where a police officer walks up to the someone who was on a bike and just shoves her over, and she just plops onto the side. Another instance, you see a cop not wearing a fucking mask run into a crowd and just start shoving people. And then he runs out of the crowd and then runs back and starts like what are you trying to accomplish with this show of force?
Right, and to be clear, it's like they were trying to arrest people for graffiti, which is like, what the fuck? I don't think they were doing that a week ago, because every morning you have community members out there saying, we're more than happy to help clean mm-hmm. up the buildings if mm-hmm. protesters are moved to do graffiti. Mm-hmm. And obviously whenever you're in these protest scenarios and police are confronting fellow protesters, people get a little animated. And it looks like that's all that happened. Just like, whoa, what's going on? Why are you arresting them? And then suddenly it mm-hmm. became police officers tear gassing and beating the shit out of people marching, and it's just like so crazy. It happened on literally the anniversary of Stonewall, which was against police brutality.
Exactly, and they're still doing it 50 years later. And fucking de Blasio like tweets support for, you know, this march or whatever and happy Pride, literally at the same time his police force is attacking protesters. Amber Hikes, the chief equity and inclusion officer for the American Civil Liberties Union, shared footage of protesters being ambushed. And multiple witnesses say the cops instigated the chaos, descending on the otherwise peaceful protests with riot gear. And then on top of all of this, the president retweeted an image of one of his supporters saying, "White power." This video was taken and posted by The Villages, a retirement community in Florida, where there are a lot of Trump supporters. The president kept the tweet up for about 3 hours and then denied he heard the racist declaration and didn't, like, took down the retweet. Comment on The Villages. I saw someone say something like, if there are protests against Trump happening in The Villages, that is a whole other issue for the Trump campaign.
Yes, I heard this too. I saw a lot of articles from several years ago about why The Villages is such an interesting setting. But I think, yeah, you're right. The scenario for this tweet was that there were counter protesters, seniors being like saying, I don't know, maybe daring to say something like Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And then they were getting shouted at. But I mean, it's like, it's not even, Simone Sanders tweeted like, stop acting like the president's dog whistles aren't, like, you know what he's doing. But it's like, it's not even a dog whistle. They said white power. The president retweeted it. It's not like he's saying like, it's not, it's a different category of when he goes on Twitter is like law and order. And that's obviously thinly veiled, like, call to oppress people of color and Black people.
But this is I know. And this is also just a side note. He was golfing during this.
You know? Right.
He said he was supposed to be going to New Jersey to golf, but then he canceled and said he had to focus on the law, doing some law and order. And then instead, he went to his Virginia golf course.
Did you see the clip? I need to post it, where Sean Hannity asks him very gently what he would do with a second term, and he just, like, doesn't answer. He's just like, well, you know, I came here. I didn't know anybody. I'm from Manhattan, so it's just now I know some people. He, like, didn't answer. He just was like, I'm feeling a little bit, my self-esteem's a little better.
There has never been a plan to govern.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
what he said. He was like, suddenly I was president.
Like, I know, exactly. He was like, I'm going to build a wall in Mexico, between Mexico. And, like, that was, like, his big campaign promise.
And then at the end of his term, we're not allowed in Europe.
Yeah. All other places are allowed to go to Europe. They're opening up travel, but we're banned from Europe.
That's crazy. We're, like, literally in a category of, like, with Russia and Brazil. We have a little bit of good news today. So the Supreme Court has struck down a huge challenge to abortion rights. This happened this morning. So this, along with the DACA case and the civil rights protections, they've sort of had us, like, I've been waking up Monday and Thursday like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And these decisions don't come out until about 10. So it's just like a really long, stressful morning.
I know. This past like week or so, Amanda would be like, okay, no, she would like DM, like, message it all. Like, okay, there's nothing on abortion yet. We're like, okay.
Yeah, I know. Like at 8 o'clock, I'm like, abortion might be today. 10:01, not today, except this morning. I forgot this morning. I was pretty sure it was going to come Thursday, but in any event, so the Supreme Court is saying, I mean, obviously there's been some real disappointments too with the asylum case last week is really brutal. For this one, the Supreme Court is saying, nice try, but not, to a Louisiana law that tried to require abortion providers to obtain admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. This is a practice designed to place an undue burden on providers and limit access. This is one of those trap laws, targeted regulations of abortion providers that really have no basis in science or safety for the patient, but you can make a pretty strong case to people favorable to your cause that they do. So like anti-abortion advocates, they say that a doctor needs admitted privileges for a woman's health and safety. In reality, there are very, very few emergencies involved in abortion care, abortion procedures, whether surgical or medical. And if there is, much like with, for better or for worse in this country, you can go to the emergency room for care. Like, they treat you. So if there is an issue, there's really no reason you can't call an ambulance or have a patient who needs emergency medical care access it very quickly with or without these privileges. And also there's an issue where anti-choice hospitals, when you're talking about the South, are just, you have one guy who's in charge or lady who's in charge of making that decision. If they don't like abortion, they can say no to those doctors. And in states like Louisiana, where there are fewer doctors and fewer clinics willing to provide that procedure, people are coming in from out of state sometimes to provide that service for patients. And it's not really worth their time or energy, or it doesn't make a lot of sense to get that. It just doesn't make sense. But it is one of those scary ones, because you can see how if you don't know a lot about this, but you're inclined to be anti-abortion, you might be like, oh, of course. Of course they should be able to go to the hospital. But when you look at it for literally a minute, it falls apart. And the court has already told us that this law in Louisiana was very similar to a 2016 law that the Supreme Court decided was unconstitutional, based on the fact that it placed an undue burden on a woman's constitutional right to get an abortion. Right now, the precedent in this country is that a woman has a constitutional right to have an abortion. That is her choice. It is her private matter. So allowing Louisiana to enforce the law could have opened the door for states to basically restrict abortion out of existence. So you're not necessarily targeting Roe, but you're making abortion so challenging and onerous to access that nobody can really get it. And we know this. We know that if you outlaw abortion, rich white women will always be able to get abortion. When you make abortion, and even when you limit it, you know, if I need an abortion, I have the time and money and support system to fly or drive 1,000 miles to go get one. Nobody should have to do that. So this, again, we said this is exactly what happened with the Texas case, but anti-abortion advocates sort of hope to pitch their case with Trump's shiny new pair of conservative judges, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. Susan Collins famously said that she was going to vote for Kavanaugh because she felt like he would respect established law on abortion and established precedent. This case today involved precedent and established law, and what did he do? Did not respect it.
Fuck Susan Collins, man.
Fuck Susan Collins.
Like, I am just, like, tired of her. I'm just tired of her. I'm tired of, like, I know, like, every time something happens in the Supreme Court, she ends up trending.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like, I'm like, this must suck for her. Like, I mean, I don't have any compassion for it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it must suck.
Yeah, I know. She made that choice. Like, I do wonder if she knew when she cast that vote that that would mean every single time her boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, still watching that main primary, but I think she definitely could have it coming to her if this was. Yeah, totally. Because, I mean, so let's talk about John Roberts. Chief Justice John Roberts has been, like, notoriously salty when you ask him to answer the same question twice, and he gets pissed when you ask him to answer stupid questions. And that's basically what has happened this entire term. He's being sort of celebrated, but I think that he's just pissed that the Trump administration is trying to, like, fuck with his legacy because they're asking him, you know, same with DACA and, like, the census question. They're basically saying, like, we don't object to what you're trying to do. We object to how you tried to do it, which is sort of the same with this abortion case, which was not brought by the Trump administration, but they did support and side with the anti-abortion activists. And it's the same case. So that's what John Roberts said. John Roberts wrote a concurring opinion, and he wrote, the Louisiana law imposes a burden on access to abortion just as severe as that imposed by the Texas law for the same reasons. Therefore, Louisiana's law cannot stand under our precedence. Weird we had to, like, spend a year in agony getting to that point.
I know.
The majority opinion was penned by Justice Stephen Breyer. He wrote that, as we said, this is unconstitutional. And he also brought up the point that he wrote, the evidence also shows that opposition to abortion played a significant role in some hospitals' decisions to deny admitting privileges. So this is a big victory. This would have been really bad. It's not over, but that would have been really bad. I was actually thinking this morning, like, oh, this is going to come out Thursday, and then that's really going to kill the mood for the live show.
But
and
no,
for the nation.
Yeah, it ended up being good news. It is interesting, like, you also just can see, like, I know we talked about the Trumps, like, they're bad at governing, but, like, they also don't have great lawyers. Like, they were saying, like, for the DACA case, had they just, like, been good at lawyering or whatever the fuck the term is, they probably could have won. But they're just so incompetent. And, like, every single level is just, it's kind of a blessing in disguise. So what does this mean for the future for abortion rights? Much like most of the bad faith conservative causes being brought to Supreme Court this term, this abortion law failed because it was a bad attempt. So, like, we basically just say, not necessarily because the court wants to preserve abortion rights. So Chief Justice John Roberts actually dissented in the 2016 case and ruled that the restricted law should go into effect. Roberts simply noted that the laws did not change since the court last chimed in on this. Chief Justice John Roberts said, I joined the dissent in the whole woman's health and continue to believe that the case was wrongly decided. The question today, however, is not whether whole woman's health was right or wrong, but whether to adhere to it in deciding the present case. Roberts wrote in a separate.
You know what I was just thinking? I wonder if, like, do you remember at the State of the Union when he, when Trump shook his hand and he was like, shook John Roberts' hand, and that's like not customary, and he was like very clearly disturbed. I feel like after that he's just been like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
Every time I don't, I mean, I know every jurist takes every case as its own and doesn't consider politics or their legacy. I get that. But like, I mean, come on.
I know.
I don't think this guy wants to look like a fool and knows that he has a legacy to preserve and that Trump is trying, that like the second he gives into any of these bad faith things, the Trump administration, then his credibility is completely gone.
Totally. The court's precedent says that people have a constitutional right to abortion and finds that this particular law interferes with that constitutional right. But anti-abortion advocates have plans to go for Roe directly. In 2019 alone, there were more than 350 attempts to undermine abortion access. They have plenty of other cases teed up, which makes 2020 that more important. Because the Trump administration has already confirmed 2 Supreme Court justices and 200 federal judges with lifetime appointments. So
petrifying.
Yeah, very, very scary in terms of all that stuff they've done with the judges. That is his accomplishment.
And I think he's going to use this, like, there are people that, there are a lot of people that only voted for him because of the judges. And there are a lot of people that maybe are sick of him and were thinking of maybe they're not voting or voting for Biden, but might see this outcome and think, oh, well, shit, I really hate abortion and I want conservative judges. So I'm going to bite the bullet and vote for Trump again. So he's probably, I'm sure today, as soon as today, he might release another list of,
The thing about abortion that I don't get is why stop there? You know what I mean? Like, why, like for them, like, why not ban condoms? Why not ban, like, pulling out? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't get, like, if all of this stuff happens at conception.
It's because it's entirely political.
It's so ridiculous. And it only affects women. Like, you know, because
trans
difference?
Trans men, yeah.
And trans men, yes. And so it's like, there is no difference between any form of contraception. Like, I understand that it's once, you know, before and once after.
Yeah.
But still, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, if you believe life begins at conception, you better not be using condoms.
Exactly.
you know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's like the worst problem of our time to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think about this constantly. It's like, man, it's really that easy to get pregnant and people really hate abortion that much. These are like 2 challenges that are very, very hard to reconcile and overcome. It sucks. I mean, I'm sure we will not be the last generation trying to preserve this right, but you can't take this away. So register to vote, betches.co/keepit100. Again, I'm sure he'll come out with those judges. Last week he like tweeted, he was like, I'm going to come out with another list of judges. And the dude that helped him write the last list, he was on NPR and they asked him, like, has he talked to you? And he was like, no, nobody asked me to make a list of judges. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know who any of these people are. That's what I don't get, the thing about the judges. Like, so now we have to just, like, Google these people and be scared.
Yes, but,
like,
exactly.
I also don't think his support, this is, like, also, like, kind of like a sidebar, but did you see, so Trump has been attacking mail-in voting and mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is hurting Republicans. Because a majority of Republicans vote by mail, and it's like hurting down ballot congressional races. So now they're like, oh shit, we need to stop saying don't attacking mail-in voting. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't know where, I mean, like, no study convincingly shows that one party benefits over another, but clearly he just assumes, like, the more people that vote, the less likely I am to win because I'm a loser.
Yeah.
Lots of weird mix of news today. We'll be back tomorrow. And again, 2 shows, betches.co/pride, betches.co/sublive. A lot of you all ask us, like, thank you for what you do. How can we support you? This is one way. Buy a ticket. Check out the show. We want to be able to grow and do cool things like this. And let us know what you think.
And we will do them IRL as soon as it's safe.
Yes, exactly. As we were talking, I have some ideas for my worst member of Congress for the week already.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I might have to claim her on the email thread right now.
Oh, it's a her. Just a little I think I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah. Frown face.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you guys there. Until the return of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Amanda Duberman. Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to sup@betches.com.
Betches.